welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Today we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit produces spiritual boldness in the believer. You see, boldness in the Christian life is not something we work up. It's something that God works in. When the Holy Spirit fills a believer, courage replaces fear, clarity replaces confusion, and obedience replaces hesitation. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1:8, says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Like electricity in a house, power may be available, but unless the switch is turned on, the room remains dark. The Holy Spirit is God's power within us. Boldness flows when we yield to Him. Obedience is the switch that releases the Holy Spirit. You can tell if you're trusting in the Lord or not by asking yourself the following question. Am I trying to be bold in my own strength, or am I relying on the Holy Spirit's power? Biblical boldness is not loud, arrogance, or natural confidence. It is a supernatural courage produced by the Holy Spirit. Now you might ask, well, how does Holy Spirit boldness come? Well, the book of Acts describes the birth and the testimony of the Christian church when it was birthed. In Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus ascending to the Father, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit descends into the heart of every believer. We understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ opens the door for the Holy Spirit to transform the heart from a heart of stone to a heart that is receptive, open to the love of God. While every genuine believer has the Holy Spirit living in them, that Holy Spirit needs to be quick turned on, just like the light switch in a dark house. That turning on of the Holy Spirit occurs in what is known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is described throughout the book of Acts. By yielding to the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are enabled to become more like Jesus and to use the power and the authority that He's made available to us. Yes, we have power through Him. Spiritual boldness can only come from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Now, the term filled here means to be inspired or permeated, saturated with the Holy Spirit. And so we look at that as being led by the Holy Spirit. Notice also that prayer preceded boldness. Before their mouths were opened publicly, their hearts were opened privately before God. Boldness grows when prayer becomes a sign of our relationship with the Lord, a two-way communication. It's not just us asking for things, but it's realizing that God wants to have a relationship with us. And so we speak, He listens. And when He speaks, we need to be listening. Many times when faced with an opportunity to be bold in our faith, we don't know even how to start or what to pray. And these are a perfect time to begin to pray in the Spirit. And I do mean in tongues, to acknowledge our dependence upon the Holy Spirit to help us. You see, the Spirit knows how to intercede for you perfectly before the Father. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how we should pray or what we should pray for, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Holy Spirit always aligns Himself with the Word of God. Now I hope you can see that when we don't know what to say or what to do, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to release boldness to speak or to do what the Lord wants us to do. Well, some will say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was an event that happened to those while the apostles were still alive. and is no longer available today. However, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Now, this promise was made to Abraham that he will not abandon the Jews even when they are unfaithful to him, which illustrates God's unchanging nature. And then look at in the New Testament at Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, emphasizing Christ's unchanging eternal nature as divine and available to every believer. No matter what the shifting circumstances are, or whatever the false or strange teachings that we hear, we can always trust in the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. It follows a command to remember that Christ's authority, his character, and grace remain constant. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what will you believe? Personal experience or the Word of God? The Holy Spirit removes fear and replaces it with power. Very simply, fear paralyzes, but the Holy Spirit activates. The Apostle Paul's advice to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7 was the following. Paul said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear is an emotion that we all experience at times, but we must remember that it undermines faith, for it causes us to doubt God. Before the Holy Spirit, Peter denied Jesus 3 times out of fear. That you'll find that in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 54. But then after being filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter stood publicly and proclaimed Jesus Christ. Acts 2:14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them," what changed Peter was not education, it was not experience, but it was the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to see the spirit realm with spiritual eyes. I think a beautiful illustration of this is found in Kings chapter 6. The king of Syria sent an army to capture Elisha, the prophet. And when Elisha's servant awoke in the morning to see the army arrayed around them, he was terrified. Then Elisha says in 1 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The Lord sent a greater army to protect Elisha. Like the servant of Elisha, the Spirit allowed him to see the spiritual realm, and his confidence was restored. Pray in the Spirit and build yourself up with boldness. That's what Jude 1:20 says. "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Now, boldness flows from realizing or having a confidence of our sonship with God. Now, sonship in this context refers to position as heirs. It does not mean male only or men only. It also applies to females. As Galatians 3:28 clearly states, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free," here we go, "there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This verse speaks to our relationship with our Lord. Speaking of father-child relationships, there basically are two types. If the relationship that comes from knowing your father, which is close and cherished, a relationship born out of communication and love, that's one type of relationship. But the other type of relationship that many experience is a relationship that results from a strict or unsympathetic father, which is often driven by fear or by punishment. Religion is very simply defined as worshiping God. The question is, Do we see God as harsh and unsympathetic, or loving and caring? You see, how we see him shapes how we come to the Lord. Do we come with fear, or do we come with rejoicing in our relationship with our Father? And see, to me, that's the difference between religious exercises and religious relationships. I'd encourage you to read Galatians 3:26 up to Galatians 4:7, which talks about how God sees you, he sees us, and how he sees us as his children, as sons and heirs. Let me give you an excerpt from Galatians 4, verse 6. And it says, "And because you are sons," he's talking to you and me, "God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God's through Christ." Then again in Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." We know because we know in our hearts. When we know who our Father is, we no longer fear who or whatever stands against us. Now the Holy Spirit empowers bold witness. Remember the verse I referred to earlier, Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." The Holy Spirit does not just send us, he strengthens us. And we have one simple message, and that is the gospel that saved us and set us free. That is our testimony, witnessing how Jesus came into our lives and changed us. When you're a witness in a courtroom, you testify to what you have seen, what you have heard, or what you've experienced. Anything else is called hearsay and generally not admissible in court. Being a witness to Jesus means the same. It is testifying to what you have seen, what you have heard, and experienced Jesus do in your life. That's why we often say every believer has a testimony. You see, God never assigns a task without supplying the power to complete it. Boldness stands even under opposition. Many believers live in places where there's hostility to Christianity. And it's in those places where the Holy Spirit-directed boldness is so important. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16. He says to his disciples, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Yet when we must be bold, let it be bold because we have been with Jesus. And that's the key. We're not acting out of our own ambition, but we are being directed by the Holy Spirit of God through his word. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," remember they had been arrested, "they realized they had been with Jesus." We spend time with Jesus when we pray, read the Bible, spend time in relationship with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 clearly shows that the Lord wants to have a relationship with us. Paul consistently preached Christ in an environment filled with opposition. And I know some of you out there are experiencing that even to this day. Listen to Acts chapter 9, verse 27. And it says that Paul preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Paul did not rely on his intellect alone, his understanding. He depended upon the Spirit to give courage and clarity. Spirit-filled boldness is confidence in God, not confidence in self. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says the following, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." This is the Apostle Paul. And then he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Remember, you and I, we have the same Spirit, the same power. 2 Timothy 1:7 says again, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That boldness that we've been talking about, the Holy Ghost boldness, the Holy Spirit boldness, is rooted in love. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture in Revelation 2:4. And the Lord says to the church at Ephesus, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." It's a challenge for Christians to keep the love focus when acting or speaking boldly. Our goal is to become more and more like Jesus every day. And He always operated from love. This doesn't mean that we agree with our adversaries or our enemies. But our hope is to reveal the goodness of Jesus Christ. Another truth is that love conquers fear. 1 John 4:18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love, agape love, casts out fear." Boldness without love can become harsh. Love produces courage with compassion. Love gives courage to confront, to forgive, and to stand firm. Let love be the motivation for your boldness. Finally, boldness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit, and He will empower you to live courageously for Christ. Boldness does not always remove the storm, but it anchors the soul in the storm. So when the Spirit fills us, courage replaces self-preservation. The Holy Spirit who empowered the early church is the same at work today. When believers are filled with the Spirit, boldness becomes a natural outflow. Remember, a lamp does not strain to shine. It simply stays connected to the power source. And when we stay filled with the Holy Spirit, boldness flows naturally. And let me just close by saying, I don't want us to think of the Holy Spirit as simply a power. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we'll have more to say about that in future broadcasts. Anyway, let me just say a blessing, Heavenly Father, right now. Bless those that are listening. Lord, help them to realize that you're there to help them be the person who you've called them to be. And Lord, that all of us are called to the ministry of reconciliation. All of us are called to share the gospel, the good news, with those that are around us. Lord, give us Holy Spirit boldness, Lord, to do that very thing. In Jesus' name, I pray. God bless you. Hope to see you the next time. Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.